Word a few minutes ago that Barry Fisher is in the emergency room. So we're just going to say a prayer for Barry and for Sharon and Vanessa and everybody that comes here often or knows Barry and some of the health issues that he's been having. And that includes Vanessa and that whole family, Lord, just has tremendous amount of suffering. And sometimes you just wonder what's going on. Dear Heavenly Father, we just again thank you, Lord, for privilege to be here. But Lord, you know right now that Barry Fisher is in the emergency room. We don't know exactly what for, but you know, dear God. And we just pray right now, Lord, that you just give Barry a calmness. You just give him a spirit of peace about this. We just pray that you'll give the doctors and the nurses and when other people are involved, Lord, to give them wisdom in handling this situation. We pray for Sharon, dear God, that you'll give her a sense of calm, Lord. We know how much she has gone through. And help Vanessa during this time. She has situations of her own, but just help her to be supportive and bless that whole family. And we continue to pray and lift them up to you. We just thank it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Pastor's away, and I don't know. About a week or so ago, he asked me if I would do the message on Wednesday night. And somewhere along the line, someone told me whenever somebody asks, you should say yes. So I said yes. And I thought, you know, I'll go home and I'll prepare a message, something maybe on trust. I like trust. I think that's very comforting, very nice. And I thought, okay, I'll do that. And then on one Sunday, Daniel was over there. Josh was preaching. And they talked about doing more, as the song said, doing more. And I know I'm preaching to the choir right here, but I heard that. And then as I was thinking about things during the week, the burning bush kept coming up to me. And I really didn't want to go there, and I wanted to do trust. So one morning I'm sitting in our living room, and I was reading that book, Jesus Calling, and I'm sitting there thinking about, you know, what should I do? And all of a sudden, I always get a little anxious when I say I heard this voice, but I heard something, and it said, go get the message. And interestingly enough, on May 6th, 2009, I had talked about the same thing, the burning bush. And I went upstairs, and I looked through this folder that I have of things that I've done. And sure enough, the last thing in the folder was this message on the burning bush. So we're going to go through that and talk about it, hopefully learn some things, not about the burning bush or about Moses, but probably more importantly about ourselves, because it does come across with a lot of things that I think we can think about, maybe implement, and maybe help other people to implement. So you don't have to write these down or anything. There's really three or four things that I think we'll get out of this. One is to know your role. Another is to know your call. Another is to know your obstacles. Another is to know God. And the last one we'll talk about when we get toward the close of this. A little bit about the bush. It was a thorny desert plant about 3 feet high. Has flowers on it that are like small roses and fruit like a raspberry. Sounds like a very attractive bush, something that I'm sure God picked, you know, flowers, fruit. Two of my favorite colors that are red roses, and raspberries, I think, are sort of red or something like that. That was the bush. There was fire in the bush, and that is symbolic of the representation of the awesome an unapproachable divine presence. Mount Horeb, where this happened, was another name for Mount Sinai. And that is where eventually God gave Moses the Ten Commandments after they came out of Egypt. I'm not going there, but right now we're just dealing with the bush and Moses. But before we go much further into that, let's look at slide one and talk a little bit about Moses. I have to tell you this. sometime when I came back, we were some, maybe it was before we went away in January, I did that thing on the bridle and the bit and all that. And during the course of being up here, every once in a while you look around, and I saw that, and I had no idea that they were doing that. So I was just dumbfounded and didn't know what to do. But so I did talk to Tim and Amanda on Sunday, and they told me, just give me a list, and it's no problem. So we're getting high tech here. I think we're going to read verses 12 to 15. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? The man said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now, on Sunday night, we were flipping around the TV channels, or Saturday night, and the Ten Commandments was on. So we started, I didn't watch the whole thing, because that's like 4.5 hours, but never, I would have been past my bedtime. But anyway, I did see the first part, particularly about Moses. So a couple of little add-ons to that. First of all, Moses was a big deal in Egypt. He was a high-ranking officer in the Egyptian army and probably in the government. He was strong. When he fled to Midian, he had to walk for days and days and days through a desert. So when he gets to that well, Tim, is there more to that or is that it? No, that's okay. Let it go. So, you know, that sounds nice, but the story goes on, and I think it's in other verses in this chapter. Moses comes to a well, and he's sitting there, and seven young girls come up to feed sheep. And they're watering the sheep, and along come these shepherds, and they chase the girls away along with the sheep. So Moses takes care of them. He gets rid of the shepherds. He gets rid of them. He beat them up or something, but he got rid of them. So it shows that, you know, he had extraordinary strength, extraordinary power. He did something that you wouldn't think that some one person could do with a few other shepherds. You just wouldn't think that, but he did it. And so then the girls obviously went home. They talked to their father, whose name was Reuel or Jethro. He says, invite him in. He asks him to be a shepherd, and he eventually marries his daughter named Zipporah. So that's how he gets to stay in Midian, and he meets his wife and is a shepherd for 40 years. 40 years. That's a long time. It's a long time. And as you think about that, you wonder what he was doing during this time. Was he praying? Was he depressed? Was he just, how am I going to get out of doing this? Or am I content being a shepherd? Again, he came from being a high-ranking officer in the army. He had people at his beck and call. And now he was out there taking care of these sheep for 40 years. You have to wonder during that time, what was God doing? What was God doing with Moses? Was he talking to him as he prayed? Was he teaching him how to live in the desert? Was he teaching him how to survive in the desert and preparing him for the mission that he was going to be asked to do? So the story goes on. Eventually, he's out in the field. And Tim, if you want to put up slide 2. Now Moses, when tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go up. I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So this is, I guess, one of the points is what our role is. First of all, as we see that God warns Moses not to come closer. It's holy ground. So there's a separation there. Here's God is saying, you're not to come any further. According to what I looked at, this is the first occurrence of sacred space. This is the first time that this was ever used. God is God, and we are not. And I think that speaks quite a bit about that. We should exalt him, praise him, and make our requests known to him. It's important in this, as we look at it, that we maintain a balance and understand that, oh, God is our Father and wants to help us. He is also God, and we must have reverence for him. And balance is a very, very important word. Sometimes, at least me, I can't speak for anybody else, in my Christian walk, I get out of balance. I get too much thinking about problems in my own life and not putting God in charge, not realizing that God is there. He is God, and he wants to help us each and every day. There's examples in the Bible of God calling other people. Gideon again, the story about the fleece and all that. I don't need to expound on that. Samuel, he was called at night, and at first he didn't know what was happening, and Eli told him, "Go back and say, 'Here I am,' and listen to him." The apostles, he certainly called them. He went along and saw four fishermen and said, "Come, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." Matthew, the tax collector, he walked by him and said, "Come, follow me," and he did. And he calls us. He calls us at various times with different messages in different ways, but he does call us. The next thing is to know your role, which was part of this. God warns Moses not to come closer. He asked him to do various things. And I just lost my place, so that's why I'm repeating myself. The next area is to know your call. And Tim, if you want to do slide 3. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying, and because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." So after 40 years, Moses hears this. 40 years, and all of a sudden there's this bush burning, and God saying, "You're going to be the person. You're going to be the person that's going to do this." And as I said a few moments ago, God uses unexpected sources when communicating to us, whether people, thoughts, or experiences. And here, he just tells Moses that you're the one that's going to do it. And I have some thoughts on that. How often do we listen to a call from God? How often do we listen? That what does God want us to do? What does he want us to do? Yes, he wants us to come to church on Wednesday night. Yes, he wants us to come on Sunday morning. Yes, he wants us to pray. Yes, he wants us to tithe. But what else does he want us to do? What else does he want to do? When Pastor Stephen was here on a Sunday, it might have been last year, he gave a sermon, and he talked about how many times do you just sit with nothing going on and listen to what God wants you to do. What message does God have for you? And I suspect in those 40 years that Moses was in that desert, he sat a lot of times and perhaps listened to what God wanted. So it's a question. I think it's a question for all of us. How often do we sit and listen and ask God to speak to us? God will speak to us if we are patient enough, if we trust him enough, he will let us know what he wants us to do. He will give us guidance. I told you how I didn't want to do this. I wanted to do trust. And I heard it. It said, go get the message. And I went up and got it. Just a little diversion. Sometimes God leads us in different ways. The last time I had the opportunity to be before you, I showed you a bridle, and I showed you a bit and all that stuff. And I didn't have anything to do the next Sunday, because on Sunday, I was going to Cedar Brook. And in Sunday school, we're doing a lesson on the Red Sea rules. And if you know about the Red Sea situation, the Egyptians were in a corner. There was no way out, and only God could help them. So I thought, well, I'll do it on that. I'll do it on the Red Sea, that situation where they were like trapped. And then something came over me that morning. And Larry's laughing. My wife's not laughing yet, but and Helen, she knows. I had this situation where I stood up and I said, I'm going to tell you about the Red Sea and the Israelites and the Egyptians. But before I do that, I'm going to tell you something that I used to like as a little boy. And I said, do you remember the Lone Ranger? They all raised their hand. All these old people, they all raised their hand. And I explained that sometimes people were trapped in a canyon or something, and the Lone Ranger came down off the mountain and saved them. And anyway, you had to be there. But it was just amazing how God just put that in my head to do that, and I don't know if it was appropriate or not, but when we were walking out, Helen said, goodbye, Lone Ranger. Anyway, God does want to lead us. God wants to guide us. God wants to be there to help us. But, you know, there's obstacles. There's always obstacles. And if, Tim, you could do slide 4. Let's look at that. This is long, so bear with me. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Do you want to put 4 up to? We don't have to do the whole thing, maybe to like 10. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. Now put it back into your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay any attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since I have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Just maybe the next one. The Lord said, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? You get the picture. Moses keeps going on and on about I can't do this and I can't do that. He has all kinds of obstacles, or perhaps the word is excuses. He has a lot of excuses. And I think in that chapter it goes on and eventually he says, I'll let Joshua speak for you. I'll let him talk. He said some more things like, nobody, I'm a nobody, people won't listen to me. Look what happened 40 years ago. I can't speak well. I have anxiety. I'm overcoming fear. I mentioned Gideon a little while ago. And Gideon, he was one who said, our clan is weak. I'm the least person in my family. That kind of brings us to what are our obstacles? What are ours? Often we build up events in our minds and then panic over things might go wrong. So let me just stop there. Anybody want to comment on any of that? Do we all have obstacles? Anyone want to share? Well, I'll share. It wasn't many years ago that I would have been terrified to get up here and speak to you. I couldn't hardly say my name in front of people. I'd look down, look away. And somehow, God worked it out. God said, you have the microphone. You can say what you want. And I don't do that, but God has given me a blessing to be able to stand up and try to talk to people and say things. But even now, I get a little antsy before I come here. I'd like to say I'm sick and I'm not going. That's one of the things. And I think that's not uncommon for anybody to have certain obstacles or excuses to not do things. And what this message is, what I'm trying to get across is that God knows those things. God knows about us. He knows who we are. He knows us intimately, just like he knew Moses. He knew that Moses couldn't talk well. He knew that Moses was fearful of those things. He knew that Moses had killed someone 40-some years ago. He knew all that, but he still picked Moses, and he wanted him to overcome those things. And I think that's something that's part of all of us at times. Sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zone and do some things that make us not comfortable and know that we can get through it. And when you get through one, you can get through two. And I'm not saying that the feelings of I don't want to do this don't come back, aren't part of who you are. Because I think anyone that would say that, I don't get antsy when I have to speak is not telling the truth. I think everybody has a lump in their stomach or their throat and says, I hope I don't stumble over this or stumble over that. So it's part of who we are. God wants to help us get involved. And I have a note here from 2009. That's a joke. 2009. I think it was Cindy Van Arsdale, and some of you may not know her. She's a wonderful lady who used to come to our church. And I think it must have been a message in tongues or something, a prophecy. It says here, Cindy's message on Sunday was go out and speak. Go out and speak. And that may mean, that doesn't mean that you have to stand in the street corner and be preaching. It means that you might do some things for people and say, Jesus loves you, God bless you. I think that's what she was talking about. But that's a long time ago. The next thing was to know God. And I think you all know that. You know, our God is emotional, he's passionate, he's relational. He wants to love us. He wants to help us. But there's two parts to the deal. God wants to help us. God wants us to grow. God wants to forgive our sins. He wants to love us. He wants us to know that we can trust him. Because, you know, and we know all that. We know that he created everything. We know that he is more powerful than we can ever comprehend. We know that he is more loving than we can ever grasp. We know that he knows that he loves us no matter what we do. He knows what we do. He knows that if we fall short of the mark today, he still loves us. He's not looking away and saying, unless you perform up to my expectations, I'm not going to love you. That's not the way God works. He loves us all the time. So what's the point of the message? The point of the lesson, what we can learn from the burning bush, is that God told us through the word that he's in charge. Don't take off your sandals and don't step on this ground. It's holy ground. He's in charge. God is totally in charge of our lives. It speaks there. He wants us to take a role in his kingdom. He wants us to work for him and with him. He wants us to overcome obstacles because he's God. With him, nothing is impossible. I think it says in Jeremiah, I don't know, maybe chapter 31 or something, it says, all things are possible with me. It says in Corinthians or where, my strength is sufficient for you. I can take care of it. So that's saying it's just not when we have problems in our life, it means that he's there all the time, that he can do things for us to help us to grow, help us to do more and more. So my purpose in doing this is to say that, again, most of the people here that I see are involved, but there's a need for all of us to become more involved. And if we're already involved, maybe that means encouraging other people to get involved. We can always be an encourager. We can always be an encourager. And that was the fifth point in my, I went over four things and I said the last one I'd tell you, that's the last one, is to get involved. As we pray, we should ask God what he wants us to do, what we can do, how we can help other people, how we can talk to them, pray for them, be with them, how we can let our light shine in the community, how we can let people know that we're different, that we care about them. How can we let a person in line go ahead? How can we let a person, we can let a person cut us off and just let it go. We don't have to lose our temper. We can miss a putt and say, I must have missed that putt for a reason. There's goodness in this, and I can encourage the other person who didn't make that putt or made it. So there's all kinds of things that we can get involved in, and I believe that the burning bush kind of says that. It says that we are part of God's kingdom, and this is but one small example how God can help us if we ask. And you know, it said in, I think it was Exodus 3:12, it's God said, "I will be with you. I will be with you." And Jeff, if you or Tim, you could put up Matthew 28:18-20. So in Exodus 3:12, he says, "I will be with you." And Matthew 28:18 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" There it was in the Old Testament, in Exodus, God saying, "I will be with you." He's encouraging Moses and other people that he will be with them. Do what I want you to do. And here in the Great Commission, God's saying again, "Go ye and teach all nations and help them." And that's part of what I believe we need to do as a body. And I had some notes on that, because that was something that was a real struggle for me. That was a real struggle to say, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to try to do that. Because I grew up in a church where everything was done for you. All you had to do was come in on Sunday morning and sit down, and you were golden. Everything else was done. That's not the way God wants it. So my final words would be an encouragement to each one of us to find out what God wants us to do. And I know we're all doing a lot. Many of you are doing a great, great job. But there may be more things. And it may not be doing more. It may be just encouraging other people with a kind word or an ask. So as you pray, think about that. And again, take time sometimes just to sit there and listen and see what God wants. You know, I know we're pressed for time, but sometimes that 5, 10, 15 minutes of just sitting there can reap tremendous rewards in God's kingdom. So thank you. That's all I have, and God bless each one of you.